Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show. On the other side of the glass, we are ready to tackle an hour that is full of content today on the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, November the 19th, 2015. We are coming to you live from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream the show, which means you don't need to be right by a radio. If you're around a computer, really anywhere in the world, you can stream us at my website, buckmastershow.com, or the station's fine website, kvoi.com. And of course, we have our podcasts and our archive. We usually get that podcast up within about an hour of the conclusion of the program. And again, that is at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, if you have a question or comment, 790-2040. Our Facebook page under my name, Bill Buckmaster. And we're trying to do the Twitter thing, and that is at Buckmaster Show. Let's get right into today's show. And we have with us in studio Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, Diane Douglas. Superintendent Douglas, thank you very much for being here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Bill.
You are concluding tonight your tour, this tour that you have, I think the tour is called We Heard You Tour, mm-hmm. Which kind of follows up on your first kind of statewide tour, which was kind of to introduce yourself, right, to the people of Arizona, looking at education at K through 12.
Well, I was very vocal as I campaigned for this office that I think many major changes we made to our educational system, we did so without ever going to the people and without ever listening. To me, the education system belongs to the citizens of Arizona, and it needs to serve the citizens of Arizona. So when I became superintendent, I decided that what I want to do, and I will do this every year I have the privilege to hold this office, is go out, talk to the people, talk to the parents, talk to the teachers, because only two people educate a child, their parents and their classroom teacher.
And tonight, the meeting will be at Catalina High School, 3645 East Pima Street. Everyone is invited to come out. Mm-hmm. Come with your questions. The meeting will be from 6 to 7 this evening. Diane Douglas will be available to hear from you. What are you hearing from the parents and the folks, the concerned citizens coming to these meetings? Are they pretty much unanimous that teachers need to be have better pay?
Absolutely. You know, I talk about this, what we heard on the listening tour, or the WALT, we are listening tour, the WALT tour, as we fondly referred to it. It didn't matter whether we were in a rural area or an urban area, if we were in conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter what, how you wanted to define it. What we heard loudly and clearly is Arizonans want their teachers paid better.
So everybody's on the same page pretty mm-hmm. much there. Now it's how we take that, get to that, to that area where we can give the teachers more pay. And of course, there will be a special election coming up in May over the plan that Doug Ducey pushed before the legislature and was approved by the legislature for a special settlement to the classroom ongoing lawsuit. Mm-hmm. How are you leaning right now? Have you made your mind up on whether to vote yes or no on this?
I certainly haven't made up my mind whether to vote yes or no. And when I do make up my mind, I never tell people how I vote anyway. They can make their own conclusions. One of the things that's very important to me as we look at this plan is it involves the state land trust, and we have to ensure that we don't touch the principal or the corpus of that trust that was created at statehood. And it belongs to our children today as much as it belonged to our children 100 years ago, and it belongs to the children 100 years from now. Our duty is to increase the principal of that trust, getting our federal lands back, getting them into the trust, selling those lands, getting them on the taxpayer rolls, gaining more interest on that trust. But I believe we have a solemn duty to protect the principle of that trust.
What would you like to see going back? What would have been a better choice rather than this particular one?
Well, you know, one of the things I recommended in my plan, when we first announced the Arizona Children Can't Afford to Wait, mm-hmm. that was on September 11th, I came out with a plan that asked for $400 million mm-hmm. of ongoing money to education. We can't have cliffs in education where we get funding for 5 years and then it drops off, funding for 10 years and then it drops off. Our schools need a consistent funding resource that they can depend upon. What we had looked at in our plan for the $400 million was that we know there was carryover from last year's budget. We know that the sales, the tax revenues are ahead of projections. That's all money that's in the general fund we can put to education right now. And we believe then by working to grow the trust in years out, we can get a sustainable base for that. And that's what I'd like to see happen. I was on a school board, and I know how hard it is when you have funding for just a year or two or 5 or 10, and then all of a sudden you hit a cliff. It's an impossible situation.
So you've got some real concerns, in other words, about what's coming up.
So we need to look at it. You know, it's in the details. Let's look at all the language and make sure we're doing the right thing for Arizona kids.
Now, one of the things that you feel very strongly about is changing and getting rid of the Common Core standard.
You've heard.
Oh, yes. You very much ran on that, and now the State Board of Education has voted to cut ties with the Common Core standard. What will they be replaced with, Diane Douglas?
And we don't know that right at this point. And I'd like to let all our teachers out there, let them take a deep breath and rest assured that just because we're cutting the ties to Common Core doesn't mean they walk in their classroom tomorrow and there's nothing there to teach. It needs to be a contemplative change. And there is a standards review committee that was created in April and is very slowly moving along. I wish the board had allowed us to use the standard review process that ADE and the board already agreed upon. We believe we'd be through the process now. But it's about upgrading them. We know that the standards that we have in ELA, they don't take into account much of the rich heritage we have here in Arizona. We know that when we talk about college-ready math, they don't include trigger calculus. Well, how's somebody going to become an engineer or a scientist or a mathematician without trig and calculus? They're not going to get into a university.
How about standardized testing? You wish you had 2 hours to talk about.
At least. Yeah. What we hope to see is to move in a direction of what would be formative testing rather than summative testing. Summative testing is a one-day test that's given too far away from the end of the school year while there's still 2 or 3 months of instructional time left. We would like to move to formative testing where the test is given in small chunks across the school year so teachers have immediate feedback and know how to enrich the instruction that they give and help children who are struggling.
When you see these surveys that consistently rank our state near the bottom in education, what comes to your mind when you look at those? It must not be a very happy situation for you.
Well, Arizona is doing a lot of amazing things in education. We are the leader in so many areas, and I don't know why we constantly beat ourselves up. But we do struggle with certain populations, certain subgroups of students. Our Native American students struggle like they shouldn't. Our English language learners, they have a huge impact on how it appears Arizona is doing. So we need to serve those groups much better and get them the futures they deserve.
I really worry, though, about keeping teachers, the teacher retention.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much bad publicity. You hear that teachers are leaving because they are underpaid and they feel, in many cases, not valued.
Well, one of the things I believe could help is that when someone declares their major in education, rather than letting them go through all the training and then put them in the classroom as a student teacher at the very end, let's get them some classroom work right up in the beginning of their major so they can go in eyes wide open. What is teaching really about? It's a very rewarding profession, but it's also a very challenging one, and it's not a good fit for everybody. So let's make sure before they incur 4 or 5 years of student debt that they're in the right place for what they want to do.
We're speaking with Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, Diane Douglas, who was elected to the position. Well, pretty much your one-year anniversary has come and gone now. So you came into this as basically kind of an outsider. You were on the Peoria School Board, but you really weren't involved in state government. Has that led to some resentment from within the system?
I think perhaps it has. I think, you know, the people of Arizona said they were tired of politics as usual. And I think it's fair to say I'm not a politician as usual. And so I'm not afraid to say what's on my mind. I'm so blessed to be the superintendent of public instruction of Arizona, and it is my dream job. I don't want to be the governor. I don't want to be the secretary of state. So I'm not looking at what comes next. I'm looking at doing the absolute best job I can do for the citizens and the children of Arizona.
Has the dust up with the Arizona Board of Education, is it settled down? I know there's been legal action. A lot of the folks probably don't really know where it is right now, but can you kind of give me the bottom line on all of this?
Well, the bottom line is I'm trying to protect the integrity and a constitutional office. The law, despite what some say, is very crystal clear about what authority the board has, the duties and the authority of the superintendent, and who has the day-to-day management of the employees. And that rests with the Department of Education and the superintendent, and we're the only people that can supervise employees. So Unfortunately, the judge refused to rule on the law, so we have to pursue it further.
I only have a couple of minutes left, but we do have a caller who's been waiting very patiently. I believe Matthew is with us on the Buckmaster Show Liveline, has a question about the Joint Technical Education District known as JTED here in Pima County. Go ahead, Matthew, and I am running very tight on time.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to get to it, so I figured I'd bring it up. Just where are we? Are we going to get this before the vote? Because I don't think JTED and the business community can wait that long. Thank you for what you're doing. Appreciate it. Bye.
Thank you, Matthew.
I'm not sure.
That's the joint technical.
Well, the joint.
Their funding was
cut. Yes, but that will have to come through the appropriations through the next legislative process.
Right. That really has nothing to do with the May vote.
No, it doesn't.
That's coming
up. I mean,
yes.
Could some of that money end up with teachers who teach JTED? Very possibly. Yes. But that's a separate issue from the funding that was cut from them last session.
And it's from my understanding that the lawmakers, when they meet in session in 2016, in really like 2 months away, they're going to have to address whether the funding should be restored to what it was or to a different, that will be an appropriation from the lawmakers.
And that is another message we heard loud and clear across the state. People support the JTEDs. It's a great alternative. When they talked about Common Core, college and career-ready standards, we should have told the feds, no thanks, we've got a great career-ready system right here in Arizona. Come
see. We really do. JTED, they do a great job. Diane Douglas, thank you very much. Hope to visit with you again. And if I don't talk with you before the holidays, have a great holiday season.
Have a blessed holiday season as well, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Diane Douglas with us on The Buckmaster Show. We have lots more coming up. This is a very full hour today. We're going to take our break right here. We'll be right back talking about spending your money right here in Tucson this holiday season.
Hi, Dr. Kevin Lehman. Want to see the fastest draw in all the West? Want to see it again? Anyway, if you're looking for somebody to take care of those termites that you've got in your house, do yourself a favor. Call my friend Shelby Hawkins over at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. They do a great job, they're economical, and they're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. On this Thursday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show. It's a big weekend. A lot of people start to think about Christmas coming up, Thanksgiving a week from today, and believe it or not, Christmas Eve is only 5 weeks from today. Tucson's Mayor Jonathan Rothschild will kick off Local First Arizona's Buy Local Month, and that will be happening. The mayor will be kicking that off at 11:45 a.m. at the Tucson Museum of Art. It's their annual holiday market at the museum's courtyards. They'll be in the lobby, around the plaza, really all over the grounds of the Tucson Museum of Art. Erica Mitnick-White joins me now in studio. Erica is the Southern Arizona Director of Local First Arizona. Erica, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Good to see you, too. Thanks so much for having me.
How important is it to keep dollars in this community?
Oh, it is hugely important. The reality is that when we shop local and support our friends and neighbors who run businesses right here in our town, up to four times more money stays right here. It recirculates, creates more job opportunities. Plus, we get to support great independent businesses.
Give me some numbers about this by shifting dollars from a national level to a local level. How does it translate in money and in terms of jobs?
Well, what we see is for about every $100 you spend, when you spend that with a locally owned business, about $43 of that money is going to stay here. You spend that same money with a chain and only about $13 stays here. So when we make that choice to buy with a national chain, we're basically saying we would prefer to send that money out of our community away from here.
And jobs?
The loss to jobs is immense, too. So we've looked at numbers that say nationwide for about every $10 million in sales, we actually create 110 jobs with independent businesses. But you spend that same money with chains, we get less than half of that. We get about 50 jobs. And when you go online, shift that same $10 million into spending on Amazon, we only get 14 jobs. So this holiday, we'd love to see people spend their money like they're investing in our community.
You know, one of the figures that your organization put out is that if we would shift just 10% of our spending from national to locally owned businesses, it would create an average of $132 million new dollars recirculating in our local economy, and it would create 1,600 brand new jobs and $52 million in new local wages just in one single year.
Yep, absolutely. And that's just looking if people shifted just 10%. So with the holiday season coming up, this year, national holiday sales are expected to actually top $630 billion. Imagine if everybody who's spending this holiday season were looking to shift 10% or more of that into local.
Local, buying locally is a national movement that I think people are starting to think, you know, we need to take care of our own communities first.
Absolutely. And again, it's about, let's support our friends and neighbors. These are, and it's not necessarily making any sort of a sacrifice to do so. Frequently, we see that the prices in our local businesses are very competitive. And it can be about supporting the bookstore owner you know, as opposed to the bookstore owner you don't. That's the same person that's here in our community that's giving charitably to our local nonprofits, that is concerned about the issues that affect our community. And realistically, these are the businesses that are giving great customer service, that want to help you, want to have a personal relationship with their customers in the community, help you find those perfect gifts you're looking for. We're really excited to be at the Artisans Festival, where people can come meet the actual artisans, the makers in our community one-on-one, and find really unique, amazing gifts.
What kind of gifts? So there'd be a wide variety, I would imagine, at the Artisans Fair.
Oh, yeah. We see things for everybody, whether it's jewelry or toys, fun crafts, all kinds of great things. And if folks can't find what they need there, we have a directory on our site, localfirstaz.com, where you can find over 2,900 Arizona businesses to support. And we'll even have a dedicated website for Buy Local Month that'll show you special deals and offers from our local businesses. So we encourage people to check out that website.
LocalFirstAZ.com is the website. How did you get involved in all of this? What's your background?
Well, I love Tucson. Mm-hmm. I really fell in love with Tucson when I came here to go to the U of A. I just never wanted to leave. And I always enjoyed going to the unique, you know, little cafes and restaurants and coffee shops and finding the great new places, the independent bookstores, and spending time in those places. It made me feel really good about my community and proud of Tucson. It wasn't until I met Local First Arizona founder Kimber Lanning that I found out what the huge economic benefit was to supporting these places, that by doing that, it didn't just give me this feeling of being connected and proud of my community, but it actually helped drive the economic development in my community, made it a more vital, sustainable place.
And I think one of the exciting things about downtown Tucson is it has been local folks who have really driven the whole kind of renaissance of downtown Tucson. You don't see a lot of national chains downtown. It's pretty much Tucson people who believe in this community that have taken a chance as small business people, and it's paid off for them. And look what's going on downtown.
It's wonderful, and we're so proud of the work that's being done downtown. It's one of the reasons why this year we started a program with the Downtown Tucson Partnership for the Downtown Tucson Gift Card. So now folks can go online. If you go to downtowntucson.org, you can find out more details. But they can buy a gift card that, again, instead of supporting a chain business owners we don't necessarily know who don't live in our community, this card supports over 70 local businesses downtown. There's other great gift gift options too if you're looking to support local things like Tucson Originals gift cards, which support
our local
Tucson-owned restaurants.
Sure.
And these are wonderful gifts.
All right. Well, I'm glad you could come on the program. We could talk about what's coming up. And again, the kickoff is going to be this weekend. It's Saturday down at the Tucson Museum of Art. All sorts of vendors will be down there with very unique gifts. Erica Mitnick-White has been our guest from Local First Arizona. She's the Southern Arizona director. And Erica, we want to give out that website, localfirstaz.com.
That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Buckmaster Show at the midway point. Still much more to come on this Thursday. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
Bruce Beach.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
Bill Harlow.
Great to see you.
Dave Barry.
Thanks for coming.
Diana Cannon.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Feeney.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries.
Aren't you?
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
You made it.
Bob Logan.
Can I get you anything?
David Sluts.
I thought I just saw you at...
Casey Palinchak.
This is a blast.
Bob Schaff.
Hey, you're...
Burt Williams.
I'm speechless.
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
John Lewis.
Yeah, I know John. John Lewis, Commerce Bank of Arizona. Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. We're now offering flowers, decor, and so much more. Check out our new business, Flower Design and Decor Company, 3619 East Speedway, just west of Alvernon, or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world, with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, offering a comprehensive approach of programs and services
to facilitate the creation of high-wage jobs through the attraction of new primary companies, the retention and expansion of existing primary companies, and increased business creation and entrepreneur strength within our region. Since 2005, Sun Corridor has facilitated 110 relocations and major expansions here in Southern Arizona, representing over 27,000 direct and indirect jobs and an overall economic impact nearly $8 billion. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. Joining me on the live line, Kevin Stockton. Mr. Stockton is the CEO of Northwest Medical Center, a 300-bed hospital in Northwest Tucson. He is responsible for the operations and strategic management of the facility and off-campus locations, including 5 urgent care centers, 2 ambulatory surgery centers, the Northwest Allied Physicians Practice, Desert Cardiology of Tucson, and Heart Center of Southern Arizona. Mr. Stockton is a member of Sun Corridor Inc.'s Chairman Circle, and he's with us now on the live line. Mr. Stockton, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic today. How are you doing?
Doing very well. I want to talk, obviously, about healthcare and specifically what Northwest Healthcare is doing to help people gain access to health insurance.
Yeah, so we have had a program for a couple years now since the Affordable Care Act rolled out, and we have certified application counselors that work with consumers really to help navigate and go through the registration process to help people get insurance and get the right insurance plan. And if they want, if consumers want, they can call 469-8844 between now and January 31st of 2016, and we can help assist them now.
And again, that number, Kevin?
Is 469-8844.
There are many different ways that people can access health care. Why is it important for people to have a primary care physician?
It's important because the primary care physician is really the steward of a patient's care, and they can help connect them with the appropriate resources at the right time. So if people have a primary care and they see them on a routine basis, they can head off what could be a major medical issue and really start with either early care, which is usually less costly care, and make sure that the timing is best. Because oftentimes if people avoid primary care physicians, they end up in the hospital emergency departments, and they can have some very expensive and invasive procedures happen that could have been headed off earlier in the process.
Yeah, so many times, as you know, Mr. Stockton, people will say, well, I don't need a primary. In case I have a problem, I'll go to the emergency room. Well, that's the beginning. That can be the beginning of a lot of trouble.
Correct. And people often think it won't happen to me. But unfortunately, I'd prefer to be proactive and make sure it doesn't happen to me than just hope that it doesn't.
How do you make your customer experience better and more convenient for your patients? After all, like any business, the healthcare business really should be putting the customer first.
Correct. We should put that first. I mean, it starts with customer service, but also we look at different types of ways that can impact customer service. And so oftentimes there are complaints about long waits and the time it takes to get in to see a primary care physician or an urgent care facility or even our ER. And recently, actually Tuesday of this week, Northwest Medical Center and Oro Valley Hospital, we launched what is actually online appointment time setting, so that people can actually wait at home for non-emergent issues for urgent care or primary care instead of having to wait in a lobby with a lot of other sick folks. And so they could, if they have an emergency condition, they should obviously call 911. But really, patients can go online and do online scheduling with either our urgent cares or our primary care practices and really take the wait out of the hassle.
And you're doing what you're calling a freestanding emergency room in Vail. That one just opening up, I guess.
It is. It's going to open up in the middle of December. We're very excited about this service coming to Tucson, the Tucson area. It'll be the first of its kind here in Southern Arizona. We're actually going to have an open house on Saturday, December 5th from 9 a.m. to noon. It's at the corner of Old Vail Road and Houghton out in Vail. And what I think people can expect is the same great care and great service that people get now if they come to an emergency department either at Northwest Medical Center or Oro Valley Hospital. The physicians will be the same physicians that see them in our ERs now, nurses, imaging services. If people need to be admitted for advanced care and higher level cares, then we'll be happy to transport them to Northwest Medical Center where they can receive great inpatient care here. But really, it'll be a very convenient, open 24/7. And for those people having urgent and emergent issues, it's really going to help help them out greatly.
Is this a new model? Is it something new? I don't think we've seen anything like this in Tucson, have we?
We've not. It's new to Tucson. It is not new. There's been many metropolitan areas have these existing in their communities. What may be different here in Tucson is that than other communities across the country is there's been some freestanding emergency departments that have sprouted up that were more out of network. They didn't take insurance plans and really had very expensive bills for patients when they showed up there. The good thing about ours is it's part of Northwest Medical Center, and if your insurance will allow you to come to our health system, then you'll be covered at the same rate at these facilities. The other benefit is because it's part of Northwest Medical Center, the specialists that help care for patients here in our hospital, the patients will also have access to them when they go to the Vail Emergency Care Center. So really much more supportive from a physician component and also financially no impact to the patients as well.
Kevin Stockton is with us, Mr. Stockton, CEO of the Northwest Medical Center, where a lot is going on, including this freestanding emergency room being unveiled in Vail. The whole industry, of course, is changing so fast, and I don't need to tell you that, Kevin. You know, it's like the next day there's another change, it seems like. So what are some of the biggest changes that you have seen that really will affect patients here in Tucson over the past year?
I think there's been a couple of them. One of them is that what we call narrowing of networks. And so what's happened is insurance plans have started putting out what they call narrow networks, which actually limits the providers that are in them that patients can access. So one of the challenges we've been really working hard with consumers in the past year is making sure they understand that if they sign up for an insurance plan, then they need to make sure that their physician, the hospital they go to, is in that plan. Many times over the last 12 months to 24 months, we've had patients that have called up complaining because they signed up for the wrong plan and they have to go to a provider that they're unaware of or aren't familiar with. And you know, we try to do what we can to help them out. So we've seen those narrowing of networks really be a change. And then also the financial responsibility. Patients have had more and more, I guess, out-of-pocket expenses placed upon them. And so we've seen people that are making sure that if they're going to use their health care dollars, that they make sure they use it in a facility that's really professes high-quality care and great customer service. And that's something that we focus on every day in our health system.
You have to, the patient, the consumer has to be their best advocate, let's face it. And so really study, the patient needs to really study before they change insurance or buy an insurance program to find out about this network and are there doctors covered that are out of network. Would that be good advice, Kevin?
Definitely. Very good advice. And we actually, our certified application counselors can actually help them in that process, but definitely even if they're signing up with their employers, as there may be different plans offered by the employer, make sure that your doctor's in there. Make sure that the facilities that you're used to going to or you want to go to are contained in it.
You know, and it gets back to really a patient empowerment and engagement. And again, I think that's a patient taking control of their health care. That's really where it starts. And then you, on your end of it, really have to hold up the deal by giving that great, as we talked about in the beginning of this interview, customer service.
Correct. You know, we are accountable to the care we provide, both from a quality perspective and also a customer service perspective, and we strive to make sure that we try to meet everybody's needs. And we can't always do that, but we, if we make a mistake, we'll own up to it, and we'll make sure that next time we're nicer and we smile and we provide great care.
All right, Kevin Stockton, we're going to wrap it up. You gave a number out at the beginning of this interview about folks that perhaps wanted to access health care. Give us that number again, please.
Yes, area code 520-469-8844.
Okay, and again, the freestanding emergency room in Vail, that will be unveiled.
Yes.
Give us the particulars there quickly.
Yeah, open house December 5th, Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon, Old Vail Road in Houghton.
Thank you very much, Kevin Stockton, for sharing some of what you're doing at Northwest Medical Center.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Kevin Stockton with us on our CEO interview series, which is presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated. You can find out more about what they are doing for economic development in our area by going to suncorridorinc.com. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:49 on this glorious Thursday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. Well, a 30-year goal of Rotary has been the eradication of polio worldwide. Rotary, joining up with the CDC and the World Health Organization, hope to accomplish this, and when they do, it will mark only the second time in modern history that a disease has been completely eradicated, the first being smallpox. It's a challenge because the only two countries where polio remains are Afghanistan and Pakistan. Over the past 5 years, local Rotarians and others from around the world have joined in the El Tour de Tucson, which of course will be this Saturday, in what they call the Ride to End Polio. And they've raised over $3 million, which is matched $2 for every one by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. That means that over a five-year period, Rotarians from around the world have used this local Tucson event to raise a total of $10 million, and the goal this year is to double that, raising an additional $10 million. The greatest fundraiser on the local team, actually the El Tour dedication recipient in 2014, is John Huco, and Mr. Huco is the General Secretary of Rotary International. He joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from Chicagoland, the home of Rotary. Mr. Huco, how are you?
Good to be with you, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. You've been very, very familiar with El Tour. You've been a participant. You're an avid bicycle rider. How'd you first get involved with our race out here?
Well, listen, it's just a terrific event, and it was really by serendipity. I was, Rotary, every year we hold a convention somewhere around the world. We get anywhere from 20 to 60,000 Rotarians to come, and about 4 years ago we had our convention in Thailand, and I was on a water taxi with a group of Rotarians from Tucson, and we started talking about cycling, and they told me that, they ride in El Tour every year to try to raise money for polio, and they asked if I'd be willing to join them and help raise some more money for the event, and I did, and it's just been a phenomenal experience.
Are you coming out this year?
Yes, I am. I'm coming out, and last year I was tried to break 5 hours. I came in at 5 hours, 5 minutes, and I'm going to try to see if I can crack that five-hour barrier this year.
John, there are so many worthy causes that Rotary could be involved in. Why did Rotary choose polio eradication as its flagship cause?
Well, again, it was a group of Rotarians who, in the Philippines, started vaccinating children as a local country project, and back in the late 70s, and they saw that it was so successful that in 1985 they were able to convince Rotary International, the organization, to really take this on as its flagship project. And as you mentioned in the intro, it's only one other disease has ever been eradicated, and that's been smallpox. And what's interesting here, Bill, is that it was a nonprofit. Rotary is not a government agency, not a health ministry. We're not a multilateral institution. So they had the audacity in 85 to say, we're going to eradicate a disease. And we had 125 countries that had polio at that time, 350,000 cases a year. And as you mentioned, we're now just down to two, Afghanistan and Pakistan, where the disease is still endemic. And we're under 60 cases this year. So it's just a tremendous success story in the area of global health.
For our listeners, John, who do not know about Rotary, what Rotary is and what your role is heading up the organization, a brief overview, please.
Sure. We have 1.2 million Rotarians around the world. 70% of them are outside the United States, and we're organized around what are called Rotary Clubs. We have about 34,000 clubs around the world, 17 in the Tucson area, and we've got about 4,000 Rotarians in Arizona as a state. And it's really it's an organization that I like to call, it represents the intersection between commerce and cause, where community leaders, business leaders, community leaders get together to both network and also to do good in the world, to do community service projects that are both locally based. Rotarians do tremendous work in their local communities, but also to tackle big international challenges such as the eradication of polio.
Are Rotaries, is the organization growing? So many service organizations have found difficulties in kind of a generational gap. Where are you right now with Rotary?
We're doing very well. I mean, in the U.S., we've kind of been growing steadily. We're experiencing tremendous growth in Asia, in Africa, in parts of Latin America. The former Central Europe is growing quite rapidly, and so we're very pleased. I mean, we've been increasing our membership steadily, and making a true impact in the world. And as you said, it's not polio. Rotarians are very active in water and sanitation, disease prevention and treatment, literacy. You know, Bill, we run one of the largest student exchange programs in the world. Every year we send about 9,000 students to do exchange programs, U.S., Japan, Brazil, Zimbabwe. I mean, we're sending students all over the world. We provide every year 100 full scholarships for students to do master's degrees in peace and conflict resolution. And so it's an extraordinary organization that's it's really affecting people in a positive way throughout the world.
Well, I grew up in Wilmette, Illinois, just north of you there on the North Shore of Chicago, and my grandfather was very involved with Rotary. I believe Rotary One was the first. Was it the first club in Chicago?
That's right. Good memory. The Rotary was founded in 1905 by a gentleman named Paul Harris in Chicago, and it just sort of took off from there. And as I said, we're now up to 34,000 clubs and 1.2 million members around the world.
You're a big, avid cycler. What do you do in Chicago in the off-season, in the winter time? Do you try to come out to places, I guess, like Tucson?
Yeah, exactly. I'm very jealous of you guys here.
Yeah.
You spend a lot of time riding indoors. But we had a very mild fall this year, surprisingly mild. So I was able to actually get in a couple of rides this past weekend, which is highly unusual. But yeah, when we're out there fighting the wind off Lake Michigan, we're very jealous of everybody in Tucson.
What's your own background? Why did you get involved with Rotary? You've been with Rotary for quite a while, but I know you have quite a prestigious background in another area.
Well, I'm a lawyer by training. I'm actually the best kind of lawyer, a recovering lawyer. I was a partner in a large international law firm and spent many years practicing law in the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. And then in 2001, came back to the United States, and I joined the Bush, George W. Bush administration, to help establish a new foreign assistance agency, U.S. government agency called the Millennium Challenge Corporation, which is kind of a new and innovative way of delivering U.S. foreign assistance, and really became passionate about this issue of doing good in the world and really trying to make a difference. And so when I left the administration, I sort of went, what am I going to do next? And this Rotary opportunity came up, and my father had been a very avid Rotarian for many, many years, and it was really just a continuation of what I'd really enjoyed doing, which was really trying to make a difference, and was certainly able to do that through Rotary. It was just a tremendous organization.
And people can find out more about Rotary at rotary.org. That would be the best place. And ride2endpolio.org would be the website for the local ride for raising money for eradicating polio. John Hucco, thank you very much for joining us, talking about the L Tour and the Rotary connection coming up here, the L Tour on Saturday. Thank you, John.
Bill, thanks for having me. Take care.
Thanks a lot. John Hucco with us, talking to us from Rotary headquarters. which I believe is in Evanston, Illinois. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. You know, it is only a three-hour drive, give or take a few minutes, from the Tucson area to Silver City. It's a great part of the Southwest and Southwest New Mexico. Beautiful place to do some hiking, anything outdoors, but there's some great activities indoors in historic downtown Silver City with its galleries, antique stores, museums. Western New Mexico University has the finest collection in the world of Mimbres pottery. It is a beautiful collection. So there's a lot to do over there. The website is southwestnewmexico.org, which has the full listing of the many places to stay and things to do. Great places to stay like Agave Ridge Retreat and Spirit Canyon Lodge, just to name a few. That's going to wrap it up for a very full hour on this Thursday on Buckmaster. Tomorrow, Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick from the 1st Congressional District joins us on Buckmaster for the Friday Focus interview. This afternoon, 4 to 5, for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Then we do 4 hours of local talk in the morning. Yeah, 6 to 8, Chris and Joe, the Daily Double, Christy Simone, and a different guest host. And then Sean McCluskey, his show, Talk of the Town, from 9 to 10. So we're trying to keep folks informed here on the local level. I am the switch hitter and cleanup hitter of the radio. Back with you tomorrow at 12:04. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.